talents that God has given this congregation, that we are able to have a multitude of different types of offerings to give worship. Thank you, Lord, for that. Well, this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 3. If you have your Bibles and would like to be turning with us to that, we'll be there in just a few moments. But today, with the Lord's help, we're going to talk about what it is to prepare for the Advent. Preparing for the Advent. The Advent is the coming of Jesus. You know, Christmas, as we approach Christmas, we approach a day where we remember Christ's birth. But Christmas not only remembers Christ's birth, but also causes us, helps us to look forward to His next coming. A couple weeks ago, we talked about waiting for the Advent. How do we wait for the Advent, the coming of Jesus? And we saw that the Hebrew word for wait is linked to hope or expectation. And so what we saw in all of that, just as a means of review, is that biblical waiting is not passive. You're not just sitting in a waiting room twiddling your thumbs, waiting for your number to be called. Biblical waiting is active anticipation of what we know for certain is coming. And because of this, the acts of waiting and preparing go hand in hand. Because we prepare ourselves for what we know is coming even as we wait, don't we? We know it's coming, so we want to be ready. I mean, when we know we're expecting a baby, we don't just sit and do nothing for 9 months. We prepare the nursery. We buy the furniture that we're going to need. Make sure we've got an up-to-date car seat. We do the things needed to prepare and be ready. And we prepare for Christmas by decorating homes, making schedules with parties and get-togethers and events and whatnot. Some people even begin saving for Christmas as early as January, with, you know, those Christmas club accounts they have at the bank, just to make sure that we're financially prepared for all the trappings of the celebration. We prepare for it. Now, preparations don't speed the arrival of an event, but neither do they hinder it. The event, whatever we're waiting for, is coming, even if we don't know when. But preparing makes us ready. It's a natural part of active waiting. And an example of that is Jessica and I knew that we would be moving last spring. The Lord just let us know that a new season of ministry was coming, but we had to wait. Now, while we waited, we prepared. We started talking to the older two girls about the fact that a change was likely coming. We began curtailing some of our longer-term commitments. We started getting rid of unwanted items. The things that were in storage anyway, we just went ahead and kind of packed so they'd be ready to go. Now, we didn't know when we were moving. We didn't know where we were going. But we knew we would. So we began preparing. Preparing is part of waiting. It's an evidence, actually, of true expectation. Consider you've got two farmers, and they both say they're waiting for rain. Waiting for rain. One goes out and waters his field, while the other carries an umbrella. Which one really expects it to rain? See, we say as redeemed people that we're waiting for the Advent, for the return of Jesus Christ. But are we preparing ourselves? And if so, how? If we are praying for rain, so to speak, and we're trusting God, waiting for Him to provide, are we preparing for His answer? Are we carrying an umbrella? If you want to join with us, we're going to read together verses 1 through 12 of Matthew 3, and we're going to see how do we prepare for the Advent. I'd ask that you stand in reverence for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. So that in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Esaias, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem, and all Judea, and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And we know and trust, Lord, that every word of Scripture is profitable for us. So, Lord, by your Spirit, open the eyes of our hearts today and speak to us, Lord. By your word, Lord, convict us, challenge us, build us up, encourage us. Whatever is needful, Lord, help us to prepare for your coming, Lord, because we know and are convinced that you are coming soon. May we be ready. And may we help the world around us to be ready. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So here's John the Baptist. And a couple weeks ago, we saw that he is that voice crying in the wilderness that Isaiah foretold. And here Matthew expressly states that fact. John is the messenger heralding the coming kingdom. And even as he waits, he is preparing the way by urging others to prepare. And so according to Isaiah, that voice would cry, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now in another message, we could talk about the picture that's being painted by this allusion to an ancient custom of preparing a highway for a coming dignitary. But today, I want us to see how John says that we are to prepare the way of the Lord. In verse 2, he says, repent. Repent. Now, the popular definitions of repent, frankly, they all fall short. To repent is not just to turn around in the road. To repent is not just to change your mind. But to repent is also not just to have feelings of remorse or sorrow. One can feel sorrow and change nothing. That's what happened with the rich young ruler. He walked away from Jesus sorrowful. Does not mean he repented. To repent is to change your mindset. It's not simply a different decision like, well, I was going to have cereal for breakfast, but I changed my mind. It's a paradigm shift. The Greek word is metanoeo. It's a compound of two words meaning with or after and understanding. So with understanding, after understanding. And that indicates that the type of mindset change that occurs is one that occurs when we have a better or fuller understanding or grasp of some truth. See, when John says, repent ye, he's not calling just for changed behavior, like, well, I was going to do this, but now I think I'm going to do that. He's calling for a change of heart. Now, that change of heart will, by necessity, result in changed behavior. It's almost like we would say, because of this truth, I will now walk this way. I was going this way, but now that I've seen the light, as Hank Williams said, I'm going to go this way. See, here's the thing, folks. This is what John was getting across. God is coming. God is coming. He urges his people, and we need to be urged today to recognize who he is and who we really are in light of that. He is almighty and holy. You and I are but grasshoppers. We're filthy sinners, fit only for destruction. We were walking in pride and arrogance. We were blinded by our own sin. But seeing who God is and who we really are, with that new understanding, with that new recognition, now repent, John says. Isaiah said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Things look different. They look clearer in the light, don't they? We interpret things differently in the light. When we see the light of the truth of the glorious gospel, we have new understanding. And in that understanding, we are called to repent. Now, that may and often should involve some remorse or sorrow. You know, when we consider our own rebellion against God, it would be natural to lament, "Oh Lord, what have I done?" It's natural to have some sense of sorrow, but a new understanding, true repentance, what it does is it spurs a change of heart. Whatever that may look like for each person is going to be different because there are different personalities. But has the heart changed? And so, friend, if you're here or if you're listening online today and you've never been saved, you need to hear this. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, is coming. He's coming soon. And even if he delays his coming, you have no guarantee of tomorrow. And when your life here ends, you will meet him. And we must all be ready. The Scripture tells us, prepare to meet your God. And the way we do that is to repent. You are a sinner separated from God and His mercy. And I don't want you to take that personally because you're not alone in that. So was I. And so was everyone in this room before we met Jesus. But today, maybe you're hearing the gospel, or maybe you're hearing it again, but really for the first time, you're getting that new understanding. The gospel, the good news that though we're all hopelessly lost and condemned before a righteous God because of our sin, Jesus came the first time to show us the Father, to live the sinless life that we could not live, so that He could pay the price for sin that we could not pay. He died so that we can live. But the good news is then he rose from the dead and he lives forevermore. And soon he's coming back. He's coming back to claim those who have repented, those who have recognized their hopelessness and sin and their need for a Savior and who have trusted in him alone. Folks, you can be saved today. You can leave here knowing that you were prepared for Jesus' coming. Repent ye. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. But here's the thing. There's a bad habit among professing Christians to think that our preparation for the coming of Jesus ends there. Repent once and you're saved. You're ready. Nothing more to do. Folks, that is just simply not true. See, repent ye, and this is where y'all just going to have to get used to the fact I'm a little bit of a nerd. Even though I'm not a Greek scholar, I look at enough of it, the parsing, to figure some things out. Repent ye is a present tense imperative verb. It's a command for continuous action. If it were a once and done type thing, then it would be another tense. It would be the aorist tense. But this is continuous. Keep repenting. You see, when John was speaking, he was speaking to a variety of people. He was speaking to all who would listen. And this included sinners with no interest in the things of God, apart from their citizenship in a, quote, Christian nation. Boy, does that sound familiar? But he was also speaking to faithful Jews who desired to please God, much like faithful Christians today. And he was saying that these also needed to repent. Continual repentance is necessary for us to prepare ourselves for Christ's coming. For a couple of reasons. One is we continue to battle with the flesh. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So we still fall into sin. And I don't just mean sinful deeds of our hands. How often are we guilty of puffing up with pride? How often are we guilty of the sin of unforgiveness? Of a lack of compassion? Greed or avarice? You see, all these are things that you can't really see. You have to search your heart. Or let the Lord search your heart. How often are we guilty of covetousness? That is, wishing that we had what someone else has while being discontent with what God in His mercy has provided. How often do we gossip? How often do we use our words to tear down rather than to encourage? See, folks, we all fall into sin. And that sin defiles our spirits, and we need to be cleansed again and again. We need to continually repent. But also, keep in mind that definition, with or after understanding. Repentance comes with understanding, with revelation. See, before we can respond to understanding, we have to gain more of it. We must be students of the Word. Diligent in prayer, learning from Jesus and knowing Him more and more. And in that understanding that comes, we are continually changing our mindset as we understand more and more about the Lord. And that's part of how we prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus. Perhaps that's what Paul had in mind in Romans 12:2 when he says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Well, what is that perfect will of God? 2 Peter 3, verse 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Peter's speaking of salvation for some, to be sure, but he uses the first person plural. He says that God is long-suffering toward us. Why? So that we all may continually repent and continually be transformed, made more and more like Jesus. God's will is that we continually repent, that we continually grow in understanding and knowledge of the divine and be changed in light of that, that our finite minds be renewed through repentance so that we, even and really, even especially after we're saved, that we're transformed more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And so all that said, I ask you this, brothers and sisters, are you prepared or preparing for the coming of Jesus? Don't answer too quickly, because consider this, if He came today, would you be satisfied for Him to find you as you are? I would not. I have a lot of growing left to do. I have a lot of rough edges to smooth. A lot of dark corners that need some light. How about you? If you were Jesus, could you look at yourself right now and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And if not, because I'm assuming most of us are thinking, nope. So if not, what are you doing to prepare? Are we humbling ourselves daily in repentant contrition? Are we being transformed through a repentant study of the Word? Repent ye, John says. prepare. Why? Because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folks, the need is urgent. That doesn't mean that the kingdom is coming. It means it's here. And it's in perfect tense, meaning that it's permanent. It's done. The need to prepare is urgent. Now, it's not an exact parallel, but consider this to kind of understand this. When Queen Elizabeth of Britain died, Prince Charles became king. But he wasn't coronated immediately. It took a number of months. But the whole world knew Charles would assume the crown. His reign was at hand. It wasn't if, it was when. Folks, the reign of Jesus is at hand. We may not yet see him on his earthly throne, but that day is coming. Zechariah 14:9 says, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one." Jesus will soon return and assume the throne. It's not if, it's when. His kingdom is at hand. Are you prepared? Sinner, now is the time to repent and seek the Lord for salvation. Now is the time to seek citizenship in his kingdom. Christian, now is the time to repent and be made more and more like Jesus, prepared to rule and reign with him. Are we preparing for the advent? Now, being a prepper is and always has been countercultural. If you look at verse 4 in our passage, "And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey." Well, John was an odd bird, wasn't he? He didn't eat, he didn't act like others in the world. And his message was different too. Some mocked him, many followed him. But you know what? Everybody paid attention to him. And even today, we have preppers who get mixed reactions. Maybe they're prepping for doomsday or for the apocalypse or for the solar flares or, you know, electromagnetic pulse or whatever it is. But they're prepping for something and they're different, right? Some of them live off-grid and you think, how does anyone live without a phone? Some of them have storehouses of survival products and gear. And there are many who hold to some wild conspiracy theories. But you know, some of those conspiracy theories may be more true than we'd like to admit. But no matter how you look at it, these preppers are different. Prepping is countercultural today because so many only live for today. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We're only going to live for today. And so you might wonder what bearing John's strange dress and diet have on the story. I mean, why is verse 4 even in there? We never hear about it again. I've wondered that myself. But, you know, folks, what we see is that John is an example for us. He was sent by God. And because his mission was from God, it didn't matter if he didn't look and act like the world. In fact, it was better that he didn't. And the same is true for us. If we're preparing for the coming of Jesus like we should, then we too will be countercultural. We don't need to look or act like the world around us. In fact, we shouldn't. Jesus said of his followers in John 17:16, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Now you got a lot today in a lot of so-called churches that want to say that we in the church ought to strive to appear worldly in the interest of being relevant. You know, there's a Hebrew word for that. Hogwash. We don't need to be relevant. It's okay to be countercultural. It's okay for us to be different from the world, and markedly so even, because we're not preparing ourselves for worldliness, we're preparing ourselves for holiness. It will be seen as odd, John the Baptist, he was the original prepper, folks. He was countercultural too. Not coarse furs or eat bugs. Some of y'all are really glad to hear that, and frankly, so am I. But I am saying that we need to be a people content to survive on whatever God provides while being faithful to proclaim the gospel. Even if that means that we look and act a little or maybe a lot different than our neighbors. See, just as many listened to John despite and maybe even because of his countercultural behavior, it may be that the differences in us, the ways that we run counter to the culture, maybe it's in our love or our joy or our contentment or our humility, our forgiveness. See, all these things are not of this world. It may be that it's those differences in us that bring others to Jesus. Don't be afraid to be countercultural. Now we also see John teaches us that preparation has to be internal before it can be external. See, we have the command to prepare, to repent, and we see the need to prepare, and we see the countercultural nature of preparation. So are there those among us who wish to prepare, who desire to prepare? John had folks coming from all around, all walks of life. He was popular and well known, maybe the first celebrity preacher. Definitely the first celebrity preacher of the New Testament era. Like folks clamor today to be associated with fame. So they did with John. There were these Pharisees and Sadducees, leading Jewish scholars and thinkers and rulers. These were the religious experts of the day. They came to John to be baptized. See, they wanted to be associated with the popular movement to make them relevant with all the other people. They wanted to make a show of repentance. And John called them out. He wouldn't baptize them because their hearts weren't right. In verses 7 and 8, he says, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." Fruits meet for repentance. He says, show by your deeds that your hearts are changed. You see, baptism, folks, or any ritual, any act of service, doesn't change anyone. Just like with that baby dedication this morning. That baby dedication this morning, that didn't save Astrid's little soul. That was not an act of repentance. It was valuable. It was a valuable act of worship. But these rituals and acts, they don't change anyone. One can't prepare for the coming of Christ through external deeds. The external will change, but our preparation must begin internally, in the heart, with or after understanding. Seeing God's holiness and our wickedness, only then can we repent. Only then can we change our mindset to pursue God and trust Him alone. Only when our hearts are changed will we bear fruit suitable to that repentance. And so the questions we need to ask today is, how have we prepared? How have you prepared? Sir, are you resting in a baptismal ritual like those Pharisees and Sadducees that came to John as though water saves? Are you resting in church membership, like having your name on a roll gets it? Are you resting in a profession that you made? Or a prayer that you prayed? None of those makes the difference. And some of you might be wondering what I'm talking about. You mean a prayer doesn't make a difference? See, here's the question. Did you repent? Did you stop looking to yourself and look to God? Are you resting in your prayer or in God's answer to the prayer you prayed? Did you profess your faith or God's faithfulness in saving your soul? See, those may seem like fine distinctions, but they make all the difference in the world. Our repentance must be internal before anything external will matter. Are you prepared for the coming of Jesus? Did it begin inside? Christian, are you prepared or preparing? Is the Spirit inside of you stirring or spurring you to something, to some act of obedience? If so, don't ignore it. Don't delay. See, it's possible to appear prepared on the outside, but the preparation has to start inside. And then we must respond. Then we bring fruits worthy or meet for the repentance that we've experienced. Last thing I want us to see today is that preparing for the Advent, preparing for Jesus' coming, it prepares us not only to be saved from destruction, but also to be used by God. Now, this is a place where we miss it a lot of times. This is true. There is a day of judgment coming. When Jesus comes, He will judge the living and the dead. No one will be exempt. And just as John had some around who thought they were safe simply by virtue of their relationship to Abraham, there are many today all around the world, maybe even some in this congregation, I don't know, but many who believe they're safe because of their church membership, or because my daddy was a preacher, or because my uncle was a deacon. Or because, well, I pray now and then, and I know all the stories. Or they'll say, well, I go to church regularly. By gosh, I'm there every Christmas and every Easter. That is regular. Or there are those who say, well, I live in a Christian nation, and so therefore I must be Christian. there's a difference in being a church member and in being a seat warmer or a placeholder on a roll. Which are you? Are you serving? Are you giving? Are you growing as led by the Lord? Are you using your gifts for the building of the whole? See, the Bible teaches us that the Lord gives to all believers a spiritual gift. Everyone say all? So anyone who says the Lord hasn't given me a gift, yes, He has. The Bible doesn't lie. The Lord didn't stutter. Everyone has a spiritual gift. Not everyone has the same gift, but every born-again believer has at least one. And it is given according to the Word for the express purpose, according to Ephesians, of building up the body of Christ. See, God doesn't call anyone to sit on the sidelines. Church is not a spectator sport. I want you to hear that because there are so many, especially after COVID, everyone thought, well, I can just go to church online. I can watch on my computer. After all, when I go to the church, all I'm doing is sitting there watching the preacher, listening to him. I hope you're not watching me and listening to me. I hope you're hearing what the Spirit is speaking through me. I hope that you're giving spiritual agreement to it. Because church is not and never was a spectator sport. There are no bench warmers on God's team. Are you exercising your gift? Are you prepared to be used by God? But in church as a whole, I want to speak to the body. Are we prepared to be used by God? You see, Jesus loves His church, but He didn't establish the church as an end unto itself. The church is the body of Christ, designed to work to proclaim and grow the Lord's kingdom, even as He did while He was on the earth. We continue His mission and His ministry. Folks, First Baptist Church of Mosseyhead, we exist to grow the kingdom. We're a body of Christ. We're not an organization. We're an organism, a spiritual organism. Too many congregations have gotten comfortable with the status quo. They sit like civic organizations, clubs with activities and occasional membership drives, rather than being a mission-driven organism. They've become complacent, fearful that activity might cause their church to grow and change, and be different from the club that they loved and joined. Folks, I can tell you I'm not concerned about growing this church. Because that's not my business. That's the Lord's. But I am concerned about growing the kingdom. I am concerned with telling people about Jesus and seeing souls reconciled to God and lives transformed for the glory of the Lord. I am concerned with the growth of the kingdom, and we all should be likewise minded. See, kingdom growth isn't optional for the Lord's church. If anyone's not interested in growing the kingdom, well, I'll just be blunt. You probably need to examine yourselves to see if you're even saved. And that may seem harsh, but here's the thing. The Lord's people have the Spirit of Christ, and therefore the heart and mind of Jesus. Jesus wants to see souls saved. Do we? But we need to be prepared for it. Because if the Lord gives us success in growing the kingdom, then He will also add to our church. We will grow. If the kingdom grows, then this congregation will grow. And the truth is that some may not be comfortable with the change that will bring. But folks, we need to pray for the Lord to give us grace and make us ready and willing to embrace the growth that He will bring us. Because the only other option is to fail to grow the kingdom and thereby disobey the Lord's command and commission to us. That's the only other option. I'll say this. We went to that Candyland in Andalusia last night, and I was reminded that I don't deal well with large groups of people. It was stressful from the time we walked in the gate. I like things smaller and more intimate. It's comfortable that way. Folks, we got to recognize that our comfort cannot come at the price of souls in our community that are lost and bound for hell. That's a price too high to pay. We must be willing to do whatever it takes to reach them as the Lord gives us strength. And then we know from community meetings, there are more coming into the community as homes are built. And our comfort can't come at the cost of their souls. We need to pray for the Lord to give us grace and strength and prepare for the growth He wants to bring. We need to prepare ourselves to work for the kingdom, to be used of God. Because the thing is, He, Jesus, wants to save them. He wants to bring them into His kingdom. He wants to add them to His church. And so in pursuit of His aims, are we prepared to be used by God? As we wait for His coming, are we prepared to be used by Him more and more and more? Are we willing to step out of our comfort zones? Because folks, we got, what's today, the 15th? 9 more shopping days till Christmas, right? 10 days. Christmas is coming. But here's the thing. Just as surely as Christmas is coming, Jesus is coming again. His advent draws nearer every day. How are we preparing for the advent? Just want to leave you with that question, that challenge. And as we'll stand together here in a moment for a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song and continue to worship. But as we do, I just want to encourage you to follow the Lord. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, but you've got that stirring that the Spirit has given you new understanding and there's a repentance going on internally, bring fruits worthy of the repentance. Surrender to the Lord. You can leave here knowing that you're prepared to meet Him today. You can be saved before you leave this room. But the preparation isn't just for those who are lost, folks. I don't care if you've been saved for 60, 70, 80 years. We still have some preparing to do. None of us is really going to be ready until the Lord comes. But we keep striving to be more and more prepared. So what is the Lord laying on your heart? What is He convicting you of? What is He encouraging? What is He spurring you to do? How is He spurring you to respond? Maybe He's calling someone to make a first-time profession of faith day because you've been saved, but you never told anybody. Maybe He's encouraging you to step forward and unite in membership with this congregation. Maybe He's stirring you to increase your commitment to serve and grow in this body. Lord may be working with us in a variety of ways. However He's working with you, I encourage you to follow Him as He leads. Let's stand together for a word of prayer. Almighty God, we give You thanks today for the assurance, the absolute truth, that as surely as Christmas is coming, Lord, You are on Your way. Lord, by Your grace, through Your Spirit, help us to be prepared for Your coming. Lord, if there are any today who don't yet know You as the Savior of their souls, and I pray that today, Lord, You would convict them and bring them to a place of repentance and surrender so that they may be saved and preserved from destruction. But Lord, there are many of us here today who, by Your grace, Lord, we have a testimony of salvation. We're so thankful for it, Lord, and yet we're still not ready to be used by You. Lord, we desire to be used by You. If we don't, Lord, make us like-minded. But Lord, move us. Help us, Lord. Grow us in your word. Grow us by your grace. Give us grace to be ready to be used by you however you will bring it. Because, Lord, it's ultimately not about us. It's for your glory, Lord. And for the glory of your kingdom. Lord, move among us. Have your way among us, we pray. Help us to be yielded to your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.